Click, listen, enjoy.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
Thank you for tuning in to
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including addictions. If you know somebody that needs a referral for an inpatient or outpatient program, for a therapist, a yeshiva liaison, someone struggling in elementary school or high school, please give us a call. Our confidential number, which you can call anonymously, is 718-758-0400. Mask focuses on prevention, so let's not wait until they become huge problems that are out of control. Try and call early on so that we can help get you to the right place, the right therapist, the right program, whatever it is you may need. So I'll repeat the number. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. I'm really excited about who I'm going to let you know is on the show tonight. She is a dear friend, and I mean a dear friend, a colleague, and a dear friend again, and that's no other than the famous Louise Stanger. Hi, Louise. How are you?
Hi, Milmaka. It's so good to be with you today, and I hope you're safe and well.
Thank you. You too. It's so nice to have you on again. And this time, actually, we're having you on a new topic, the same topic, but a new reason, actually. I want to congratulate you on the wonderful new book that you came out with, Addiction in the Family. So Louise Stanger is an award-winning clinician. She's an interventionist, an educator, a keynote speaker. She has a book called The Definitive Guide to Addiction Interventions, a collective strategies, and it's recognized in industry. She has been helping families, offering resources to families around the world. I want to just say congratulations, Louise, on this wonderful book. I read it. It's fantastic. It's such an easy read. So it is excellent for the parents whose kids are struggling. Wonderful book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really proud of the family, helping families navigate challenges, emotions, and recovery. It's actually the guidebook that I wish I had had when I was younger.
And a lot of people are going to be able to use it for their clients. Therapists out there are going to be able to share it to make parents help them understand and navigate all these addiction behaviors that some of their loved ones may be struggling with. You know, you have several chapters in there that we're going to get to talk about. But I want to know why you really wrote the book.
Well, I wrote the book, I was contracted by Callisto Media right before COVID to write a guidebook. And, you know, I thought about it, and I was very honored that they asked me. But it really is built on three things. When people call me, their hearts are hurting. And they ask me, what should I do? What should I say? And where should I go for help? And that really, and how do I take care of myself is the fourth thing. And that is really the essence of the entire book, is helping families navigate, because we're just not well versed in what addiction is or what to say to our loved ones. And it's a, we get frustrated, we get upset. And then we don't know what kind of treatment is available. So this was set out in six easy chapters to answer those questions and also to give resources.
So let's talk, for my listeners to understand about the book more, let's talk about the outline of the book.
Well, the outline of the book is it's divided into six easy chapters. The first chapter talks about addiction in the family, and it defines what addiction is. It talks about different roles that families might play. And then it talks about, what do I say, what do I do? And every chapter has a self-care part of it, and I can talk about that later. And then chapter two talks about how do I navigate these addiction behaviors, because I've yelled, I've screamed, I've jumped up and down. And, you know, and the book is always interspersed through actual case examples that have been switched to consider the privacy and confidentiality of the families I've worked with. So there's case examples of young adults, there's case examples of older adults, there's just a variety of different case examples interspersed. And then chapter three is, okay, so I figured out what substance use disorders are, what mental health disorders are. I sort of figured out how to talk in I terms, but what do I do with treatment? Where do I go? And what are the different options? So chapter three goes through everything from, going to just a self-support group to going to outpatient. What does residential treatment mean? And what would some evaluation program mean? So it tries to teach you what everything is and where you can sort of go to help. And assuming on chapter four that, you know, that your loved one and you have been able to get the help you need, what does the journey of recovery look like? And, of course, chapter five is really focused on the family. How do you take care of yourself? How do you navigate? How do you move forward, irrespective of what your loved one does? And, you know, 90% of the time they may accept the gift of you give them of treatment, but sometimes they don't. And what happens, because the road ahead is often rocky, you know, as family members, we often regress back and bail people out when we shouldn't, or I don't like the word really enable, but we act in ways that aren't helpful. And the same thing with the loved one. How do we know, you know, if they're headed towards a relapse, what do? What do we say? And that, then in the last chapter is really, you know, what's the road ahead look like, and how can I really rise to my best possible self?
I'm wondering, there are so many books out there, and they're hard to read when families are going through these struggles. I mean, they, you know, so many parents just, when we suggest read a book, read this book, read that book, go to group, go on the WhatsApp chat, you know, so many resources. They all say, I can't concentrate, I can't even pick up a magazine, I can't pray, I can't this. You know, they're really in struggle mode. So what do you hope the families get from your book? Because this is a very easy read. And like you said, you broke it down into clarity in so many different ways of including that self-care. So what do you hope families get from it?
Well, I hope that they aren't afraid of it, and they can pick it up at any place or any chapter. That's the cool thing about it. And that they take a look, and maybe they get some languaging out of it. Like, maybe they learn to say, I love you and I care about you and I don't have all the answers for you. So I need to figure out what to do, and I need to go get help, because our family problem is bigger than all of us. Or maybe they begin to say, oh, my God, I've spent all this time. I haven't taken care of myself. They learn to go out for a walk. They learn to breathe. They learn to take a look at their lives and really begin to take care of themselves. So, I mean, there's so many different things that my hope is that they're able to take what they need and leave the rest. That they have a understanding of what addiction is, how that's defined, what mental health disorders are, and that they can, even if they do nothing else, just look in the back with the chock full resources and know that there is hope and that there's help and that there's always a solution.
Absolutely. And for those that are just tuning in, we have with us the famous, the wonderful, the sweetest, by the way. And I apologize, Louise, because when I introduced you, I did not say Dr. Louise Stenger, because I'm so used to calling you Louise. My apology publicly. So we have Dr. Louise Stenger, who her mission is to bring hope and compassion to those that are affected to addiction, mental illness, and really to help people heal their families. And she so prides herself on that together. You and her can find solutions for your loved ones. So she is the author of Addiction in the Family, Helping Families Navigate Challenges, Emotions, and Recovery. So can you share, of course, no names, no, you know, because HIPAA laws, we need to be very careful. But can you share some general cases that you have in the book or that you describe so that the parents get a feel of, hey, that's me, and maybe I should get the book?
Well, I know that I talk about, like, I think it's Josh, and Josh is only like 16 years old or 15 years old, and he was vaping, and he was actually smoking marijuana, vaping, and eating Xanax bars. But he had been a good kid, but he transferred to a new school, and he felt really, really awkward in the new school, and he didn't make the soccer team or the football team or whatever team that he wanted to, and he started hanging out with the right thing. And mom and dad, they just kept taking him back to the doctor, and it was the doctor's fault, it was the school's fault, until they finally realized that, you know, he was spiraling out of control. They also lived in a family that was beset with mental health or substance use family, substance abuse. And so they sought help, but it was really the great courage that they had. Or there's another one about a couple. I don't remember right now the name I gave him, but let's just say Harry and Alice. And Harry called me up because he was really worried about his wife. She had chronic pain. She was extremely depressed, and most of all, she had trauma because their son, their love, their namesake, had overdosed and died from a substance use disorder, and so the grief was just overwhelming. And she was self-medicating with alcohol and other drugs, and he was self-medicating with pot. And so, he called me up and invited me to send her to treatment, I invited him to go to treatment first. And, you know, they were able to, as a couple, which is really sort of magnificent, work through the grief and loss of their son, as well as be able to take a look and be able to deal with their own addictions and everything. And oftentimes parents will call me. I know in somewhere in this book it's about Alice, and Alice was just a really bright, beautiful. She had two small children. She graduated from a really good college, and yet all through her life, she saw a lot of isms. It was always perfection. She came from a divorced family and really had trouble adjusting to it. And her mom also had a substance use disorder. And, you know, family called us up to help her. And in the meantime, what I think is so beautiful, which, you know, you can't write everything in a book, is everybody in the family changes. So when Alice got help, and that was not easy, it was really her mother, Josephine, who was able to begin to get the help she needs. And not only is Allison in recovery, but Josephine found, and she was like in her 60s, she went to AA, she found a sponsor that was 80 old and who gardened with her. And she celebrated, I got a letter this year, she celebrated a year sobriety.
Wow,
all from
beautiful.
The way of making a difference. So for me, no matter what the problem is, there's always hope. There's always a solution.
Absolutely. There is hope. And we always say at MASC, if you change the music in your home, your child's dance steps could change. So whatever isn't working, call MASC, get on a Zoom parent group. We can refer you to Dr. Louise Stenger as well to help guide you in your struggles. And there are many, many, many other resources that are available to help the families, including a mom's WhatsApp chat to give chizuk to one another. Doctor, can I ask you to define addiction and mental health in reference to the book, how you define it, please?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said that in the book, you talk about addiction, but
yes.
And how you define addiction with mental health.
So, you know, I never met anybody, let me just say, who's, when they grow up, they're going to have either a substance use disorder or a mental health disorder. Sometimes these go hand in hand, and really a good clinician will be able to feather out which came first, the chicken or the egg. But a lot of times people will present, they will be depressed, they will be anxious. Certainly in COVID-19, we know that anxiety and depression are just off the charts. And a lot of people want to self-medicate, and sometimes they're using like alcohol, for example, which is a depressant, or another drug to self-medicate. So when we try and do, or what I try and do and others do, is we do something called a retrospective biopsychosocial, which means we take a look and we say which came first, and we look at the history of a person. We take a look at what's going on in their life right now. But these two can coexist, and they need to be treated simultaneously. We know that after someone, for example, if they're just using alcohol or maybe they're using pot and they're feeling really awful, that after they are able to detox medically and otherwise, that oftentimes the depression lifts, although sometimes it will stay. And then it's treated in that way. But you have to really make sure that you're mindful and you're able to take a look at everything that's going on with the person.
Absolutely. So in the book, in every chapter, you have suggestions on how people can talk to their loved ones. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, please?
Yeah, so in every single chapter we have, I have like, what should I say? So, and it gives you a way to speak with I terms, or it gives you a way to begin to address the issue. So even as early as page 19, it says, I love you and I care about you, in response to a loved one's substance use disorder. Today I feel frightened, angry, mad, and baffled that you passed out on the couch. My God, I found you passed out on the couch and left your 3-year-old unattended. I can't look the other way any longer. I'm only going to support you in getting help and not putting our loved ones in jeopardy. So you've spoken to the loved one with love, with compassion, but you've also set a healthy boundary. Or another early one is, I love you and I care about you. Today, I feel angry, scared, and baffled. Yesterday, the school counselor called and asked why you weren't in school. Well, you know, I thanked our school counselor, but I didn't know. And for the first time, I shared the truth. I had no idea where you were or what you were doing. You know, I feel lost and confused. Your problem is bigger than all of us. We need help. Or I'm ready to get you the help you need.
Right, and then you go to the end of that chapter, all the chapters, and you talk about self-care, which is such an important topic. We bring it up at group. Parents are asked to go on dates while the kids are struggling, and it's hard for a parent to say, like, what do you mean? I'm so nervous. I'm concerned about my child, my spouse, my loved one. But yet self-care activities are the most important. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so at the end of every chapter...
Why you added it, I'm sorry. Why ended up adding it every chapter?
Well, because if you don't begin to take care of yourself and re-transform the way you look, I don't think your loved one has a chance. And also, you're being upset, you're catastrophizing, you're going down pity path lane or martyrdom alley doesn't change anything. And so we're going to rechange so you begin to take care of yourself so you actually have the clarity and the ability to detach and be able to address the issues. And so I think, you know, it's from gratitude. If you have a practice of gratitude, it's been shown that you can change your own brain chemistry to just actually stepping outside, taking a walk, you know, taking a break, creating a safety net. Some people like to journal. Some people don't like to journal. Even just basic breathing, like taking a breath, stopping for a moment. Or some people like to meditate. Probably the greatest gift you get as you enter in the road of recovery is being of service. And that means that, and you do this so beautifully with MASC, parents being of service to other parents, families being of service to other parents. So the greatest joy you can get is being able to share your story in a confidential fashion and also being of service to listen to someone else's as they're navigating these problems for the first time.
And what do you say to a parent who says, oh, my problems are too big. I tried group one time, and it's just too difficult for me to listen to other people's problems.
You know, so I would say, if I hear you correctly, you're having a real tough time listening to other people, going to a group, and I understand that. But from experience, you know, my experience is, yes, and I had to do this myself. So you try six groups, and then you try six more, and, you know, you're more than welcome to talk to me, to write me, to process, and see how that works for you. Or I can connect you, and you can just listen on a chat room. You don't ever have to say anything. But in order to move past the anxiety, or in order to move past the fear, it's so much easier to do in a group.
Absolutely. And by MASC, actually, that is what we advise parents. Please go for four groups, 4 to 6 groups. And after that, if you still feel that you're struggling with it, then you don't have to go anymore. But they usually start and they stay on. So, yeah, it's important that they hear from other parents and see how they handle situations and get the strength from other parents who maybe have been through situations that are similar in the past by them, so they can give them support as well. Dr. Louise, you have 5 magic words in your book.
Oh, I love
them. Can you share them, please?
Yeah, so I give families when I work with 5 magic words, and the truth is I was given them many years ago. They're complete sentences, and they're designed to allow the other person to experience their own behavior. They're yes, no, oh, maybe, and whatever. And a lot of times I use yes to mean no. But it's simple. Yes, I'm only going to support you in health and in wellness. I could say, no, I'm not giving you any more money, but I could also say, yes, that's correct. I'm no longer able to give you money to live or money to do things. If someone is attacking you, you could just respond. You know how sometimes the disease roars its angry head and there's a litany of what you did wrong. And you could just respond with, really? Or oh, or whatever. What these one little sentences do is they put the responsibility, or as we sometimes say, the monkey on the back on that person. I won't promise that they may not get angry, but then they have to hear themselves. You know, you can also always do what we call reflective listening. If I heard you correctly, this is what you said, and yes, I am only supporting you in health and wellness.
Absolutely. So, Louise, there's so much more I want to talk to you about, and we are going to continue this conversation next week. So I want to thank you and thank listeners for listening in. Thanks for being on again, and we'll continue next week.
Oh, thank you, Ramakla. I just love MASC, and I love that we're going to be able to continue to share this with your listeners.
Thank you, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and now virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you, and have a good night. Please go on to maskparents.org and donate. Be our partner in saving lives. Thank you. Good night.
Attention, New Yorkers. Keep washing your hands with soap and water, or use hand sanitizer. Keep staying home if you're sick, except to receive medical care. It helps to keep others from getting sick. Keep doing your part to keep your friends and family safe. Wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, and get tested regularly. For more information, visit nyc.gov/health/coronavirus.
Because of the current pandemic economic situation, now is the best time to lease a car. Interest rates are at an all-time low, and you can lease with little or no money down. Each month, car makers offer incentives to make leases more affordable. Chesky Wurzberger and Yitzhak Berger at Zoom Leasing will help you navigate the many choices and steer you in the right direction. Their customers rave that they go the extra mile. Zoom Leasing is user-friendly, providing the best rates, more flexibility, and exceptional service. Get a new lease on life. Call Zoom Leasing at 845-606-ZOOM. That's 845-606-ZOOM. They deliver your new car anywhere in the U.S. Please call 845-606-ZOOM. Zoom Auto Leasing, where luxury and service meet. Blowout specials for January. Small car, 2020 Hyundai Elantra with sunroof and all safety features, $199 per month. Small SUV, 2020 Nissan Murano V6 engine, 24-month lease, $299 per month. Midsize SUV, 2020 Nissan Pathfinder, 7-passenger, $349 per month. Call 845-606-ZOOM. Because of the current pandemic economic situation, now is the best time to lease a car. Interest rates are at an all-time low, and you can lease with little or no money down. Each month, car makers offer incentives to make leases more affordable. Chesky Wurzberger and Yitzhak Berger at Zoom Leasing will help you navigate the many choices and steer you in the right direction. Their customers rave that they go the extra mile. Zoom Leasing is user-friendly, providing the best rates, more flexibility, and exceptional service. Get a new lease on life. Call Zoom Leasing at 845-606-ZOOM. That's 845-606-ZOOM. They deliver your new car anywhere in the U.S. Please call 845-606-ZOOM. Zoom Auto Leasing, where luxury and service meet. Blowout specials for January. Small car, 2020 Hyundai Elantra with sunroof and all safety features, $199 per month. Small SUV, 2020 Nissan Murano V6 engine, 24-month lease, $299 per month. Midsize SUV, 2020 Nissan Pathfinder, 7-passenger, $349 per month. Call 845-606-ZOOM.
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.